Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Wednesday, one in which we are loaded live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Good stuff today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, I am going to go somewhere I have never gone in all my years of doing this that I recall today. I'm going out on a leverage-soaked limb.
Can I imagine this is going to be a little pro player, maybe? You know, but that's what we love about you, Colin. You're always changing. You're always
and
evolving.
We just found out a couple days ago, everybody loves us. Okay, I've said before, Uncle Colin is pro player mobility. But I don't love, if you sign a contract, you got to live by the contract. I've signed contracts in my life. I don't love them halfway through them. But, you know, I mean, mostly we got contracts, blah, blah, blah. But Deshaun Watson should hold out of Houston. Absolutely. I don't care what his contract is. Hold out. They lie to you. They're dysfunctional, and you've been hit so many times, they've probably taken a third of your career and thrown it into a dumpster in Houston. So Chris Sims played in the NFL, has inside information, and Deshaun Watson and his agent, according to Sims, have drawn a line in the sand.
I've gotten some good information over the weekend by somebody I really trust that's connected with the situation. There's no way Deshaun Watson will play for the Houston Texans again. He will not do that. He is willing to sit out the year, from what I've been told, in this situation.
And he should. Let's think about this. From Deshaun Watson's perspective, top 5-6 quarterback in the league, he won't get less talented if he sits out. He won't get hurt if he sits out. He won't forget to play quarterback if he sits out. And he won't lose any market value if he sits out. Now let's go to the Houston Texans if he sits out. They'll be unwatchable. Their merchandise sales will absolutely plummet. Fourth place is guaranteed. The owner's franchise, frankly, probably loses value. And it won't be nearly as attractive a place for free agents to go. Who wants to go to an 0-16 or 1-15 team? Lots of teams and lots of general managers are going to want Deshaun Watson. Nobody wanted the Houston Texans job. Nobody. That's why they hired a 65-year-old coordinator or a 65-year-old coach who'd never been a coordinator. Nobody wanted the job. Deshaun Watson's played 4 years, probably has 5 to 6 peak years left. It's becoming very much an Andrew Luck situation. They took years off his career. He got hit too much. And I want you to think about this as well. Because I believe if Deshaun Watson sits out, they're going to have the worst coach and the worst quarterback situation in the league. So in the division, David Culley, the coach, is going to face Urban Meyer twice, Frank Reich twice, and Mike Vrabel twice. That's 6 games guaranteed he's outcoached. Houston also has the misfortune this year of facing the NFC West. So he'll face Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay, outcoached. They also have to face the AFC East, Sean McDermott, Brian Flores, and Bill Belichick, outcoached. Throw in Kevin Stefanski for Cleveland, excellent young coach. So I'm just saying minimum. I don't know if Robert Saleh can coach yet. I don't know. I don't know about Brandon Staley with the Chargers. They face them. I have no idea. I don't know what we call Cliff Kingsbury yet. I think he's got a year left. But minimum 13 of 16 games, Houston will be outcoached. And if Deshaun sits out, In 16 games, they'll be out quarterbacked. Why should Deshaun Watson go into a gunfight with a straw? Why? He's not going to forget how to play football. He's not going to get hurt sitting out. He's not going to lose his market value. He's not going to... Why? Why in the world would you play? I'm not saying every time an individual has leverage over a corporation, they have to extract it. I mean, if you think your corporation's well run, you like the people, you feel you get support, you don't need to pinch every penny. You don't need to extract every inch of leverage. But if your corporation can't get it right, gave you a bad programmer, your content suffers, you don't have the protection, you don't have the support, tell me who's got leverage here. Deshaun Watson's got all the leverage in the world. What about a contract? What about it? I don't see him as a flashy guy who spends all his money. That doesn't appear to be his personality. I mean, everybody that talks about him is like, great dude, community, family, not some crazy guy out there. He's got all the leverage. And I'm not a guy that does this. I'm not a guy that, you know, I don't believe when you have a contract, you should be this obstinate. But in this instance, look at the coaches they face this year. So Deshaun Watson's going into a gunfight with a spoon. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I don't buy for a second that Houston won't take a phone call. I don't buy that for a second. There's always a deal to be made. Houston's going to lose market value, their merchandise sales, their ticket sales, fourth place. It's a disaster move. Get on the phone with Gruden, Belichick, Jets, get it done. All right, so this is kind of crazy. Tom Brady must have an amazing marriage. I mean, you know, I have no reason to think it wouldn't be amazing. But this is a topper. So Tom Brady was asked about his preparation for the Super Bowl and his sort of focus. And he let this one out.
I think the football preparation's been easier. There's definitely, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, actually my family's been out of town for the last 6 days. They're not coming back in town until Saturday. So I really had an empty house for, will be 12 days leading up to the game. That's the most prep I've ever had. Could really focus on what I need to do from a football standpoint, have time to get my body right.
Tom Brady has a 22,000 square foot house with 7 to 8 bedrooms. He needed to be by himself. Honey, we'll be over in the right wing. No, I need more focus. Honey, we won't bother you at all. Folks, I've lived in a house that's 4,000 square feet. It's a nice house. This one's almost 6 times the size. So you could have parked my house in the garage of Tom Brady's house. And it wasn't enough. It's not enough space, honey. I don't have enough space. I need to be more alone and quieter in the house. This is an amazing marriage. If I suggested I needed 90 minutes of quiet to get a podcast done, I may get kicked out of the house. But now this sounds crazy, right? You're like, this guy's crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, it's Brady's the guy. LeBron's got this. He's always getting the edge. He's got the studio at home. He's got the fitness thing at home. He's got the Alex Guerrero. He's got his house to himself. I'm thinking, he's going to find one more edge as he gets older. As he gets older, he keeps finding an edge, an edge, an edge, an edge, an edge. And I thought to myself, would he really make the ultimate commitment? I'm not going to speak for women. I'll speak for men. Money matters. We often frame ourselves through that prism of money and success and professional greatness. You think this is crazy? And Tom's gotten every edge. He won't drink a beer in the season. Family has to leave for 12 days. What's the one edge teams have in the NFL that you only get it for about 4 years? Is when you draft a quarterback and he's on the rookie deal. Baker Mayfield. It's like an all-star team in Cleveland. I mean, literally, they have 2 great tight ends and 2 great receivers and 2 great running backs. You can only do that when a quarterback is on a rookie deal. That's how a Goff gets to the Super Bowl. Before they pay him, Russell Wilson, before they pay him. Remember the Seahawks brought on Cliff Averill and Percy Harvin and just like, just be good. It's almost like situational players. Like just Percy Harvin played like in the Super Bowl. It was okay. They weren't paying Russell anything. Would Tom Brady, whose net worth, I looked it up, is $200 to $250 million. Giselle, his wife, has a net worth of $400, $450 million. What if Tom Brady said, I want to be in a perpetual rookie quarterback contract. Don't pay me. How does it matter? Well, Jason Light's already an excellent drafter. I mean, if you go look at Tampa's history last 4 or 5 years, they draft really well. But it would give Tom the free agent edge over Rodgers and Russell Wilson and a Matt Stafford in L.A. It would give Brady the free agent edge. You're paying Aaron Rodgers 35. You're paying Russell Wilson 35. In a year, you're going to be paying Patrick Mahomes 29. Brady makes four. And just says, this is what Tom does. I mean, doesn't it sound ridiculous? 8 bedrooms, 22,000 square feet. They left for 12 days. Is that any more ridiculous than just put me on a perpetual rookie quarterback contract? We have talent. My general manager's a great drafter of talent. Now we can cherry pick 3 free agents a year. The dude is like next level commitment. That would be, and he's taken pay cuts. So it's not like he hasn't considered this. When he was the best quarterback in his prime, he took pay cuts. Just something to think about. You think it's crazy what I'm suggesting? I'm saying 12,000 square feet, I need more silence, is even crazier. That's a heck of a marriage.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, the other day I just suggested something. I thought it was reasonable. I said, Deshaun Watson, who could go after him? Because Deshaun Watson has like veto power. And I said, well, John Gruden, outside of Belichick, may have the most power in the NFL. He's got like 7 years remaining on his contract, 7 or 8. He's got more power than his GM. I think he kind of handpicked him. And the owner, Mark Davis, worships Gruden. So you can make a deal for Deshaun Watson, but you got to have a coach. This is why the Rams could get Matt Stafford, because the owner believes in Sean McVay. So Gruden's got a ton of power. So that's the first thing I looked at is, what coach has the power to pull it off? Belichick or Gruden could give up. You know, they would just bulldoze their GM. Most, even Andy Reid wouldn't bulldoze Brett Veach. Brett's too respected. And Andy's got power, but he wouldn't do that. But Belichick wouldn't, Gruden would. When I suggested that, you know, Raider Nation went haywire. So I have been told 3 things. This is what I have been told by people close to Gruden. He would move off Derek Carr. He likes him, but he'd move off him. 2, Gruden is concerned that with Mahomes and Justin Herbert in his division 4 times a year, he feels like he has a significantly less talented quarterback. He wants to go to a star. And 3, he's got the power to do it. So I believe, and we're just going to put, I'm not going to talk about all the quarterbacks. Let's just talk about the good ones. There's basically 2 groups of quarterbacks in the NFL. I would call the first the no argument group. They're great. You sound like an idiot arguing they're not. There's not many of them. There's 6. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. Stop talking. They're great. Some are playmakers. Some are big. Some are fast. Some are strong. Some, like Brady, just elevate everybody. Nobody's arguing. This is the no argument class. They're different. They play different. They look different. They throw different. They may run different. Then there's the guys that are really good. I mean, they start in the NFL. They're good. But we argue about them all the time. And there's about 8 or 9 of these guys. Lamar, we don't love the way he throws. Dak, we just like everything but the throwing part. Kirk Cousins shrinks. Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Herbert, and Jared Goff. Now, I'm not going to count Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield yet. You might, but just give me 7 more games with each. Let me see Baker after success if he puts weight on again. And Kyler is getting better, but let's see about 7, 8 games. I think Burrow will be in this very quick. So we've got 2 food groups here. The 6, no argument. The 9, we argue about how good they are. So let me ask you, if you want to get a no argument guy from an argument guy, what's it worth? Well, in negotiations, the key is, what do I need? What void do you fill? So the Houston Texans need a better infrastructure, and they need a happy quarterback. So they get Derek Carr, and let's say three number one picks and a player. So I got a happy quarterback, I get a good player, and great draft picks. I don't have any. I need them. What the Raiders need is a superstar that can go toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, and they feel like our guy's as good as their guy. It serves both needs. It's not outrageous. It actually makes a ton of sense. And there are stories out today. The Raiders, Derek Carr, Deshaun Watson, several NFL insiders expect the Raiders to take calls. They may need a third team. They believe that Derek Carr is worth two first-round picks. I do, too, if they're middle first-round to later first-round. I'm not giving up the second pick and the second pick back-to-back. Here's for him, but I'd give up the 17th and the 21st for him. But it's just not that unrealistic. There's only two real groups of quarterbacks, the good quarterbacks in this league. The six guys we just don't argue, you sound like an idiot. And then the others that you can have real arguments. Who's better, Stafford, Matt Ryan, Dak? You can have real arguments about this stuff. And the question becomes, the Raiders need a star, they believe. The Texans need a happy quarterback and an infrastructure realignment, and it serves both. I don't think it's nuts. I mean, the Raiders lost 4-1 possession games last year and went 8-8. They're close. Deshaun gets them to 11-5. And by the way, the Houston Texans with Deshaun went 4-12. So how much? You need infrastructure. Texans are better with Derek Carr over the next 3 years and three or four first-round picks and a starter. They were 4-12 last year with him. With him, Deshaun Watson. I think it works. I think the Raiders, what Gruden, the power he's got, the want, the understanding of his division, I think that one fits.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Talking about an all-timer, Willie McGinnis, the former USC Trojan, three rings, 15 years, multiple Pro Bowls, is joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, I was talking to somebody the other day about Super Bowl weeks, and you just sit in your hotel room, and you kind of wait for the game, and you get bored. What do you do? Because last week, the teams put in all their stuff. Just tell me, what is, for a defensive player? You don't even have the playbook a quarterback has to deal with. I mean, do you get bored? What are you doing, sitting around all week this next 5 or 6 days?
Well, no. If you're going against an offense like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're not bored because there's so many things to stop. And when you got great minds at the coordinating positions or the head coaches who are play callers like Andy Reid and Bieniemy and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, you got to know in 2 weeks, they're going to devise something you haven't seen. They're going to give you some type of personnel group or formations you haven't seen that you're going to have to stop. That's buried somewhere deep in their playbook. They're going to pull all those things out. So as a defensive player, when we played against the Rams, for instance, the greatest show on turf, the one thing that we tried to do was limit the things that they do, turn it into a different football game, make it more physical, take away all those fancy toys that they were going to use in explosive plays and turn it into a different game. But the onus on a defensive, whether it's a defensive coordinator or a captain or players, is you don't want to forget or leave any rock unturned, because one mistake defensively with that type of personnel can turn into a touchdown or a big play. So it's repetitive, going over everything, trying to figure out what they may do off of certain things they may change, the different personnels, how they're going to use the different guys. It's just something you got to continuously do, and it never gets bored, trust me, because when you make that mistake in a big game like that, everybody sees it.
You know, it's really interesting. You just said something really interesting. You said when you played the St. Louis Rams, you wanted to make it physical. You wanted to change the way the game was. What's very interesting.
Yeah.
When I watched the first quarter last week of the Buccaneers and the Packers, one of the things that jumped out to me was the audio of the game. The hitting by Tampa was a little late and really ornery. And I'm like, oh, Tampa's trying to intimidate Green Bay.
Yes.
That's very, by the way, Green Bay's got all the toys, Kansas City. It is funny when I look at that, Todd Bowles is super aggressive. I mean, Vita Vea, JPP, Shaq Barrett, Lavonte David, these are like nasty guys. They're like physical guys. Yes. So what you're saying is probably same thing. Tampa wants this to be a street fight. They want it to be the octagon. They just want to get, they may hit Absolutely. Late. That's what they do.
Well, I don't know about hit late, but you want to be physical and hit early and often. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Colin and Joy, who comes up to the line and aggressively jams their receivers? Nobody. Who jams Kelce? Nobody, because they don't want to get beat off the ball and they don't want their receivers to run by people. But if you devise a plan where you can slow them down and Mahomes can't deliver the ball when he wants to get the ball out of his hands and you throw the timing off, then that allows your front four or five, which the Bucs have been getting pressure with, four guys or five, they've been getting to the quarterback. It allows them to get to the quarterback. And teams don't understand that. That's why Bill Belichick and Parcells and some of these other great defensive minds, you know, are so good, because they understand in order to get rushed, you don't always have to come up with some crazy blitz or come up with these type of different schemes. You got to allow the quarterback to not have his first options and pull the ball down. That will give the front four, front seven time to get there. And teams are so nervous about getting ran by Robinson and Tariq Hill and Watkins and all these fast guys that they have, they don't even give it a chance. So then they're at the offensive mercy of trying to figure out what else to do and jumping in the zone, jumping in man and being one-dimensional, and it never works against those type of teams.
So you were in multiple Super Bowls with Brady and Belichick. Does it feel different? Are there more plays? Is it more intense? Is it – what is a Super Bowl? Does it feel different being in a Super Bowl? Now, I know Belichick's not coaching now, but when you're right in with Brady, and Brady takes a lot of the Bill Belichick stuff over, that intensity and that details. So now you're going to have Brady, which you've been in Super Bowls with him, and he dictates practice and dictates tempo and terms. Is it different?
It's intense. Hell yeah. It's intense and it's different, because the mindset is, every play counts. Every play means something. And you don't keep looking back, but how you approach the football game, how you prepare, the momentum swings that you face in the game, the in-game adjustments and halftime adjustments, all that stuff is critical. So, yes, it's intense. And you got to have the right mindset going in. You can't be wilted by one play or one thing that happens. You got to be physically and mentally tough in every situation. And to know is to experience. So a lot of those guys who have never experienced that type of environment and the intensity and the things that go on, sometimes they can be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But the guys that have, they have that mindset, so they don't wilter when those certain situations happen.
Yeah, Brady's got a huge experience advantage. He has been there, and he is, you know, you can just see he is clearly, obviously, kind of taken the baton from Bruce Arians. This is kind of Tom's team now. It almost feels like Tom's team and Todd Bowles' team, to be honest with you. Bowles super aggressive. I want to throw this out there. I'm generally not a big fan of holdouts, but in Deshaun Watson's case, yep, I'm totally supportive. I think it's a mess. It almost feels like a cult. When you look at the Deshaun Watson situation, do you back up him holding out? Where do you land on that?
I think it's a tough situation, because Deshaun Watson has done everything right in his career on and off the field. And for him to be this disturbed about a situation and somebody and not to have input on the next head coach, which usually makes a big difference with your franchise guy who you're paying a lot of money, who you've pretty much created and put personnel and everybody around to have success. It is to me a little disturbing. Now, Nick Caserio, who came over from the Patriots, he wasn't involved in all the melee that happened prior to, but he has been in some of these difficult situations with players and staff and different things to understand how to pretty much go in the inner workings of that and try to figure things out, have conversations, bring guys together, put people in place. That's why he's there. I would say to ownership that you have to listen to your players. If there are a group of players, important, impactful players, the best players on your team speaking out, don't ignore what they're talking about. Sit down, listen to what they're saying, and see how that affects your team. If the players are not buying in, it doesn't matter who you bring in as a coach, who you bring in as a GM, who you bring in wherever, you will not win football games if the players don't buy in. Yeah. So everybody on every level, they have to be on the same page. Deshaun Watson is not only standing for what he believes in and holding out, but he's standing for all the other players that don't have the status or the voice to do and say what he's saying. So it's not just him. Understand that. That is very important. He is representing a lot of players on the Houston Texans who firmly believe exactly what he believes. But because he has the power and the voice, he is the one taking the onus of holding out and putting it out there.
Yeah, well said. Good stuff. Willie McGinnis, 3 rings. Join him on the NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at Willie McGinnis, a proud USC Trojan. Good talking to you, buddy. Love having you on. Thanks, Willie.
Always. Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Terry Bradshaw is out in Hawaii. He's undisclosed. I don't give up anybody's, you know, location. But he's out there. He looks happy. When Terry's in Hawaii, he looks happy. I'm still... Terry Bradshaw is in a house in Hawaii. I'm in a studio in L.A., and it's like I was talking to him 5 feet. Let's bring him on live. It's incredible. I don't even understand technology. I don't even understand it. Look at him. Look how happy.
Hey, so technology is a beautiful thing, huh?
It is a beautiful thing, and you look
I'm
happy.
I'm here. Yeah, well, I've got a computer. I'm doing this through a computer, and 5 years ago, I was – didn't know anything about computers. I had a flip phone, for goodness sake. So yeah, it's crazy. You can sit here and you know, now you can turn your phone on and what do you call that thing where you can see people? FaceTime.
Yeah.
I mean, now you can, my mother's 92 and she's locked down in a home in Shreveport. So you can FaceTime her. And that's, it's pretty cool. I mean, this is good. I get to see you a whole lot better than radio. You know, this is nice. How have you been? Good?
I have been pretty good. Joe and I are making it through. You know, I was talking to Aikman yesterday and I said, you know, Troy, you're not a guy that would get nervous, but your first Super Bowl, did you get a little nervous? And he said, I was great all week. I slept great. It was great. And then they introduced me and I came out and all those flash bulbs. He goes, I don't even remember the first series. I don't even remember it. So Terry, in your day, it wasn't as glamorous. Do you remember your first trip out of the tunnel for the Super Bowl?
I do. It was the Tulane Stadium.
Yep.
We were lined up going through the crowd. There was a roped off area. The defense was being introduced and the Vikings fans were there giving us the business and some Steeler fans. And this one big giant Viking fan, because it was really cold. It was hot as all get out the day before, rained that night and got really cold. And this Viking fan on the right, big fat guy, collapses and falls right in my way, right in front of me to go out on the field. And I looked down at him and it was like he just had a heart attack. And I'm, oh my God, this guy's had a heart attack. And I was just shocked. And we moved the rope around the body while the paramedics got to him. Don't know if he lived, don't know if he died, but nice way to start a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're a little more organized now.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, after the game, Colin, we had one reporter. We did one interview. That was it. It was, you know, very little media coverage at all that I recall. Not certainly anything like it is now, but yeah, there wasn't much media coverage at all.
You know, it's you and Tom Brady have been to a lot of these puppies. As you went to more Super Bowls, Terry, did they, maybe easier is the wrong word, were you more comfortable? Was it a little easier each time?
Yes,
it was.
Well, first of all, it's kind of like the first time is the path untraveled. And then the second time is, oh, I've been down this trail before. you know, so I know what to expect. And then the third time, you actually have a machete with you and you're cutting some of the limbs that have kind of grown out over. So you're trimming it up, making it a personal highway, and you just know everything about it. So there's no surprises. The only thing different is the team you're playing. Other than that, you get used to the media, as the media did increase by the time we got to our last Super Bowl, which was 14, more media coverage. I'd been the MVP in the league, so I had that burden on my shoulders. I had the can't spell cat issue with Thomas Henderson in Super Bowl 13. 14, we play the Rams. They got all our coaches on the Rams. They know all our plays, all our adjustments. That as the game moved on, it became more of a psychological game, an emotional game to bury all that stuff so you could concentrate and play. But the first time, you just had no idea, you know. I don't know what it would be like, Colin, right now for a young person to go out there and there's, you know, 2,500 reporters or 5,000 or whatever it is. That's pretty overwhelming.
You know, it's interesting. You look at some Brady stats, and when he faces pressure, he's not the same quarterback. We all get that. Like when a quarterback's that's right. But I remember your early career, you got the snot beat out of you. Your first couple years in the league, you got beat up a lot. When you went to the Super Bowls, you faced some good defensive fronts. You faced some real defensive fronts, and you threw a deep ball. You weren't doing screen passes. So go back to, you know, Brady and pressure. As you aged and were smarter and knew the game to a higher level, did pressure affect you more or less?
What happened was after 5 years, I had become extremely confident in my abilities as a quarterback. And I knew I was good and I knew the team needed me. And therein came that pressure. I've got to play well or we're going to lose Super Bowl IX. I didn't necessarily have to play well. In other words, I couldn't throw interception after interception, but I didn't particularly have to play well because it was such an awesome defense. Super Bowl 14, I had to play well, and I threw three interceptions. But I came back and bombed them, the Rams, three times too, so made up for it. So there was more pressure on me, Colin, as I matured and became more a focal point of the Steelers offense. We were running team, and then we slowly were moving in to be a little more attacking team downfield.
So Mahomes has a great arm. You had a great arm. You had a great arm.
Right.
What is the, there's got to be a downside to it. I mean, everybody would like to have a great arm, but did your arm, Terry, ever get you in a little, like Mahomes has one of your arms where you're like, I can make that throw. Ever get you in trouble?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see it. And you're thinking, I can beat that. My arm was super strong. I mean, I could gun that thing like the kid in Buffalo. I mean, I could whistle that thing. But you know what, Colin? I very seldom use probably just 70% of my power because it was all timing and throwing it up. And we threw the ball deep, so it was more, as they say, air under the football when I threw it. It wasn't a lot of, you know, gunning routes. Then threw very few hooks, threw very few outs or O-cuts. Mostly everything was post-end, post-corner, stuff like that. But it does get you in trouble because of your confidence in your arm. And then you stand there after you throw it and it's picked off. I'll never forget against the Houston Oilers in the first series. I'm driving the team down the field for a touchdown. And I threw what I thought was a perfect pass. I right in there and it got picked. And I watched the defensive back as he was running for a touchdown. And I didn't even try to tackle him. I just looked at him. And I was trying to figure out, now, how did he get that interception? I was trying to figure out, now, how did he do that, you know? So, yes, your arm will get you in trouble unless you eat some good snacks and Frito-Lay and have a Pepsi and life is good.
We'll get to that in a second. Hey.
Okay, I know you will. So I was trying to make it natural. No, I was trying to make it natural, not stayed. I was trying to make it natural.
I know you kind of jammed it in there, but we'll get the natural.
I did. No, I don't doubt. Hey, I don't question. I jammed it in there. I did. You're right. You did.
Okay.
You're exactly right. Go
now,
ahead.
I'm going to ask a private question. This is a private one. So Brady.
A private question?
Yeah. So Brady won't drink a beer during the regular season. That's how dedicated he is. Okay. What was your level of dedication, Terry? How dedicated were you? Would you drink beer?
No.
What?
No, I wasn't a drinker. I have bourbon now, as you well know.
Yeah, you like bourbon.
I love bourbon.
Yeah.
But I did not drink. My level of dedication was, I was totally committed to football, totally committed to being a great quarterback. I didn't have time to go to bars in Pittsburgh. I can almost add on both hands the time I went out and had a beer or something in Pittsburgh. I stayed to myself. You know what, Colin? My dad told me, you're carrying my name and don't you embarrass my name. And I didn't embarrass the name till after I retired. So while I was playing, that's time. I mean, not having a beer because he's dedicated. We all know one beer is not going to hurt you, but if that's what he feels like in his mind, he has to do the temptation of that, the power of the mind. He certainly it served him well. And I would say continue on, Tom.
All right. I got one more question for you before we get to your Frito-Lay stuff. So I like Matt Stafford. He's got a heck of an arm, but Terry,
yes,
you got to win games. Okay. I'm not asking him to beat Aaron Rodgers. Hell, he can't beat the Bears and the Vikings. At some point, is Stafford just one of those, he's got talent. Oh, this guy's got talent. Terry, at some point, you got to win games. 12 years, he's not winning games.
Yeah, you do have to look at that. Here's my observation of athletes is I like to go all the way back to their Pop Warner, if I can, then high school, then college. And if they've been consistently doing something for all of those stops in their life as they mature, they're going to do that in their professional sport. I think Stafford is a guy that, and I've asked myself that question too. Is he the difference maker? Well, he's better than Goff. I didn't like Goff at all. And now that he's got a new team, two number ones and a number three this year, there's pressure on him that he's never felt before. And I'm anxious to see. I'm anxious to see how he responds. And with the offense that McVay has, we saw McVay pull that offense in last year because he didn't trust his quarterback. You will now see the offense open up where the running game will become really good because of the passing game. I believe in Matthew Stafford. I'll be so disappointed. He and I have the same agent. I'll be so disappointed if he doesn't shine. If he isn't he needs to be a difference maker. And I think your point's very valid. Hadn't done it yet. Listen, are you the guy that raises people up around you?
That's right.
Most people, but here's the thing, Colin. I believe most people that raise people up around them are guys that are out there screaming, Brady, screaming and hollering and da-da-da-da-da. Man, you better not mess up, you know, or someone will come up to you and say, hey, Tom, remember that interception in that first Kansas City game when you rolled right and threw a stupid pass back across the field and got an interception? We didn't say anything to you when you did that, so why are you on our ass? So
yeah,
I have a little trouble with that raising your level, you know. I believe you can be a leader. I was a quiet leader. I think Matthew's a quiet guy.
Yeah.
But, man, he is fun to watch. And I think we're going to really be impressed, Colin. I really do. I think he's going to have a great probably 3, 4, 5 years. He's 32 years old. So, I mean, here's his chance to prove you. Maybe you wrong. Maybe you got some doubts. I'm a little on the fence. I'm not totally one way or the other. I want him to be great. And, you know, when you talk to somebody, and I did talk to him the other day, and I never seen him so excited in all my years of knowing him.
Wow.
And that's good. Yeah, I'm serious, Colin. He was giddy. He was just so excited. He flew back with McVay to California to look for a house. And,
ooh.
Yeah. But I don't think they can announce this thing for a couple of months. But
right.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. All right.
But you know, that's why I'm going to be eating lots of chips.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching this incredible commercial that we did with all these legends. and that'll be shown right before the coin flip, the Frito-Lay chip deal. It's the Legends, man. It's a funny spot. You've already seen it probably. You want to ask me some more questions about it?
No,
you
I
got
mean,
your notes. You got your notes in front of you?
Well, I'm very prepared, Terry. I'm a professional broadcaster, as you know. I'm very prepared.
Yes, I know that.
By the way, Terry doesn't like my facial scruff. He doesn't like it.
But that's not true. Didn't say anything about not liking it.
You don't love it.
I thought you shaved the beard because as I look at you through my computer, you look like you've got a George Custer little thing right here and a mustache. I can't see the beard at all.
Well, I don't have heavy.
And you're a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Terry, I will never allow Colin to come in here with a mustache.
What? No, if I just wear a mustache, you don't even want to be. No. Seriously, it's creepy.
It will never happen.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Okay, here we go. 'Twas the night before the Super Bowl. It's Frito-Lay's. It's right before the coin flip. Terry's right. In it. It's Legends. And we got to go. Are you okay with me going now? Because you get mad sometimes.
I mean, we've talked for 15 minutes and I made a nice paycheck and that's all I got, which everybody needs to have a Pepsi. Everybody needs to eat some Frito-Lay chips.
Yep.
Okay. Watch the commercials. It's only been shown once. And Colin, the next time we shoot our commercials, I've already told them I want you in it. So there. Hey, that's right. You big guy. You just let that old mustache hang out there and we'll get you, you big old hound dog, you.
All right, Bradshaw. Go have fun with your kids. All right, Terry Bradshaw.
See you later.
All right, see you later.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.